That song's Bulletproof by Citizens Way. So it says, your love made a way, now I'm not afraid. No matter what the world says, no matter what they do, I'm bulletproof because of you. I don't have to fear no more, worry no more. And I wonder this morning if we really get that. I mean, as followers of Jesus Christ, we can live life without fear, without worry, because Jesus Christ came to this world. No more fear, no more worries. I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe that? We're in this series, Beautiful, and we're finishing up today, but we've been looking at things that hold us captive, that imprison us, things from our past that haunt us, perhaps. Those things that Satan will use to steal from us, to destroy our future. And we have said over and over, God wants to turn our brokenness into something beautiful. You know, Ecclesiastes says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's word from beginning to end. The fact is that it is a promise from God. I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe that God is working in your life today? Do you believe that God has a plan? Do you believe that God will make everything beautiful, ultimately? Today we're going to focus on overcoming our fears in life. Some of you are being held captive by your fears. The fact is you are freaking out inside. You're ready to crack. And the fact is that fear is holding you prisoner today. In fact, fear is stealing your future. Maybe it's been stealing it for a long time. You know, Jesus said in John 10:10, says the thief, he's talking about Satan there, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly in your life. That is Satan's plan for your life. To kill, steal, and destroy. You know, there are over 365 fear not statements in the Bible. There's one for each day of the year. There are more than 500 passages that address the issue of fear. And that leads me to believe that God knew that we would struggle with fear. And so I ask you today, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of today? You know, David prayed this. He said in Psalms 56, verses 3 and 4, he says, in the day when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. And God, whose word I praise, and God I have trust, I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not freak out. I believe that is a great prayer that David prayed. But to be honest, it's not so easy to do. It's not so easy to do. Fact is that I feel like I need to be completely honest in that I have experienced fear many times in my life. I mean, not just as a leader, but relationship-wise, family-wise, health-wise. I know what it's like to have your back against the wall. I know what fear feels like. I know that when you're afraid, you want to blame someone, you want to blame God. I know that fear can be a prison cell. I mean, if you're not careful, that's where you end up. And I believe it's very easy to start down that road of worst-case scenario. You know, the fact is, it's you take an idea, and so fear kicks in, and you kind of put it on the rotisserie, so to speak, of your mind. And you turn it over and over and over about how bad things are going to be. And pretty soon, it starts burning your future. I mean, with each minute, each moment, fear can mess you up. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you make better or worse decisions when you're afraid? Better? worse? I mean, let's pretend for a moment. Let's pretend we're on an airplane. And we've been in the air for a while. It's storming outside, a lot of lightning, turbulence, and what have you. And so we got all this stuff going on, and pretty soon the captain comes over and says this.
This is an emergency. Please calmly put on your life jackets and wait for further instructions.
What do you think happens in the next 30 seconds? Oh, girlfriend, this doesn't look good with this outfit. You know, I really wanted a yellow one. You want to trade? You know, oh, sorry, go ahead. You take that. I'll find another one. What do you think happens? I mean, do you think it's calm after that? It's bedlam. You know, there's a verse in the Old Testament that I think describes that kind of fear. There's a king, he has a vision, and fear kicks in. In fact, he's terrified. You know, Daniel 5:6, it says, he was so afraid that his face turned pale, his knees started shaking, and his legs became weak. Some of you have been there. In fact, some of you are there today. Something happened, you're overwhelmed, you're panicked. Fear has kicked in. It owns you. It paralyzes you. Fear happens in life. You know, when fear kicks in, when it attempts to overwhelm you, do you allow it to take you captive? What do you do about it? Can you overcome it? Well, how do you overcome that fear? And before I go too far, I want to be very clear and kind of note, not all fear is bad. You hear that? Not all fear is bad. Some fear is good. It's something we should acknowledge and react to. The fact is there's constructive fear. You get a little anxious driving on an icy road. That kind of fear will maybe help you stay out of a ditch in life. You fret a little bit about a presentation, an exam, a message. That fear will make you more diligent. It will keep you focused. A little fear will motivate you to fasten your seatbelt, to show up on time to work, pay your taxes, what have you. Fear is not always a bad thing. In fact, Jesus, he's quoted often saying, "Fear not." But one of the passages in Matthew, he says, do not be afraid of people. They can't kill you, but they can kill you, but they cannot harm your soul. Instead, you should, what? Fear God, who can destroy both your body and your soul in hell. Jesus says, you know what? There's a legitimate fear that's really important, and that's a fear of God, the respect of God. Jesus is saying we should live life with one eye on eternity. We should live every day with an awareness that life does not end at the grave, that there's a heaven and there's a hell. And that kind of fear is a good thing, and you don't want to get it wrong. You know, I saw a bumper sticker a while back. It said, true success is winding up in heaven. My point is some fear, constructive. But the fear I want to focus on today is what I would call destructive fear. It's a fear that's an obstacle, and it gets in your way all the time. It's a fear that will erode and steal the quality of life. It's destructive to your work, to your relationships. I mean, it spills into everything. It's a fear that holds you captive. It's a fear that, when you experience it long enough, it's almost impossible to experience joy or satisfaction. And in fact, if you're not careful, it will steal your future. It will take it from you. That kind of fear will wreck your life. It will wreck your life. Paul writes this to young Timothy. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Simply put, God wants us to conquer that debilitating, joy-wrecking, life-wrecking type of worry and fear that comes our way from time to time. God wants to free you from the tyranny, and I do say tyranny, of fear, so that you can experience the abundant life or the beautiful life as we've been talking about. And so I ask today, what is it that you're afraid of? What fear do you need to conquer today? Now, I have heard lots of Christian teachers teach on the topic of fear, and I believe some create kind of this false impression that, I'll just say, I believe it's oversimplified, okay? And so they will say, God will just take away your fear. And they give this impression that all you do is ask, and God kind of waves a wand, and the fear goes away. Now, I want to be very careful what I'm saying here. God could do that if God wants to. God might do that in your life. But more than likely, as I study Scripture, God is going to help you overcome, help you say goodbye to fear, and it's a partnership. God has a role. You have a role. You don't have to worry about God's part. He'll come through. He'll take care of things. But there are things that you have to do in your life. So if you're serious, if you're really serious about overcoming fear, being liberated from that fear that has a chokehold on your life, I think one of the first things, you got to understand the origin of fear. I was reading a study, Dr. Joseph Walp, he's a South African psychologist and psychiatrist, and he's an expert with fear, and he spent most of his life trying to understand phobias. And he was surprised as he began to explore people's lives that many times what tormented them, that fear that they had their entire life, could be traced back to a single frightful event that happened early in their life. And so he's looking at all this data, and he's talking to people, and like an example, someone's afraid of water. And so they avoid water their whole life. Why? Because when they were 6 or 7 years old, a friend dunked them in the pool, they thought they were going to drown. And from that single event, fear evolved. And so this isn't just a hesitation to hang out with the kid that dunked you. This isn't just a reluctancy, I'm not taking swimming lessons. No, this is lifelong fear of water and boats and beaches. In fact, if there's a large quantity of H2O, they're out. You know, nothing to do with it. All tracked back to one frightful event in their life. You know, he identified the number one. You know what the number one fear is? Public speaking. I don't have that fear. I mean, almost everyone that has a high degree of fear in that area of public speaking, when you talk to them, they remember a time when they were very young and they gave a little oral report, or they had show and tell and everybody's eyes was on them. And somebody laughed. Somebody made a cutting comment. And so they had this negative experience. They felt rejected by the audience. You know, somebody embarrassed them. I mean, that's it. Embarrassed them. The thought of public speaking from there forward causes fear and trembling. Think about that. A single event, maybe in second grade, and you carry that fear your entire life. I mean, I know a guy, he's a church consultant, travels all around the country. He's a wonderful Christian, tremendously confident. He's always talking about God can move mountains. You tell him something that's tough, he'll go, God can move mountains. But he will not fly anywhere. He will not get near a plane. Because of something that happened when he was a child. And I thought, that experience, that one single experience, has kept him on the ground for 35 years. It's a curious thing to me. People go for decades with debilitating fear and thoughts, and it's all tracked back to to one little experience. Now, I will tell you, that's not very rational. But it's real. You know, some people don't drive a car anymore because years ago they put the car in the ditch. You know, people will not pursue a relationship or a deep relationship because they're afraid of getting hurt like they did 20 years ago. You know, people, in fact, will stay away from God and the church because of something that happened years ago. Somebody hurt them or somebody intimidated them spiritually or offended them. And so they're not going to let it happen again. They're out. They just stay away. And my point is, when you peel back the layers, you find this destructive fear, and many times, often, not all the time, but often, it stems from one or two, not all that terrifying, but experiences that just didn't go well for them. But it was significant enough. It started the dominoes falling. They started putting up the signs, stay away from that. Don't go near that. Started developing a pattern of avoidance. And friends, I will tell you, when you avoid something long enough, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, people that work in the field of fear management, they will tell you that fear diminishes when you take time to understand where it's coming from, its origin, to understand what it is. Again, this is our side of the equation. We have to take responsibility for it. We got to work at it. And we, you know, you can do that by journaling, you know, talking with Christian friends. You might have to see a Christian counselor to help you understand how you got there. There are scores of passages, though, that call us to be sober-minded, to be wise, to be reflective. Why is that? Why does God say that? Well, because when we do that, it helps us not be held captive. It helps us not be imprisoned by whatever it is. You know, Paul writes this. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take what? Captive. Every thought to make it obedient to Christ. See, instead of being held captive by our fear, by our thoughts, we're to take every thought captive. We're to refuse to be terrorized by fear-inducing ideas. You know that phrase, take captive, that is a military concept there. In the Greek, it's the idea of guard your mind, protect your mind. You know, fight for emotional and mental kind of equilibrium. You know, you do not surrender to these thought patterns, these fearful thought patterns that will defeat you. And so it kind of leads us to the second step. So first step, you got to understand the origin. Why are you afraid? That's our responsibility. And then we're to expose the lies. And this is kind of a joint venture here. You know, John 8:4, Jesus says this. He says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. We're getting a description here. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan's primary strategy for destruction, for defeating you, is deception and lies and more lies and more lies. You know, think about it. How does fear work? You know, think about the last time that you were truly afraid. You know, think about that destructive fear for a minute. Now, what I want to do, I'm going to give us some time and space, talk about something that's safe. I want you to think back when you were first dating in a serious relationship with someone, all right? And so that person said to you, hey, I'll call you tomorrow. So in your mind, you're thinking, oh, okay, they're going to call me at 6 or 7. You know, they'll call me when they get off work or out of school, whatever. But at 10 o'clock, they still haven't called. So does it prompt you, or did you think, oh, you know, maybe they had to work late. Maybe the meeting went long. You know, maybe they got caught talking with some friends. Maybe they went and caught a bite to eat. Yeah, maybe they forgot, they'll call me tomorrow. Is that destructive fear? No. No, destructive fear usually spins in a couple directions when you're talking this way. See, the fact is, they haven't called you at 10 o'clock. Destructive fear would go, oh, I better get the news on, and I better make sure they weren't in an accident. I bet they're laying in a ditch somewhere crying my name out. I wonder if my phone's broke. Oh, no, my phone, maybe it wasn't working and it didn't get the call. This is all my fault. That's a little destructive. I mean, it's great for soap operas. It's great for country music writers. But that kind of pattern of thinking, yeah, emotionally, it's not very healthy. Now the other track that might take is 10 o'clock, you still haven't got the call. I bet they're out with somebody. I knew it was too good to be true. I can't believe it. They're probably setting wedding dates and finding baby names at this point, you know. Again, it makes for great songs. It makes shrinks rich, but it doesn't help the rest of us, does it? See, fear will manufacture worst case scenarios. In fact, the scripture would say that the evil one, Satan, is behind it. He is helping you spin lies in your mind. And we just laughed at the last illustration. Because we got distance from it. Some of you have more distance than others. Got some space. But there are times that fear gets a stranglehold on you. And it's absolutely no laughing matter, is it? See, I've watched people through the years. I've watched people work in very corrupt, abusive, terrible situations at work. And they're in that environment, and they'll say, I need to get out of this job. You know, it's killing me. You know, I need to find a better situation. But fear will kick in. And the lies start spinning. Satan helps you manufacture more lies. I mean, if I walk away from this job and take another job, what if that job doesn't work out? I'll be out on the street. I mean, this is not good. My family's going to starve to death. We'll end up homeless, and I'll end up alone. I better just keep this job. Even though the expectations are wrong, the demands are destructive, even though the culture's corrupt and dysfunctional at that job, even though ethics have been thrown out the window and they're having to dishonor God, they hang in there. They stay in the job. Why? Because of fear. People stay in relationships that have serious issues. You know, these destructive relational patterns. And they need to have a truthful conversation with the person, and they want to have that conversation, but because of fear, it takes them and holds them captive. You know, if I talk to them, they may walk. You know, they may leave me if I step out of this. I'll be a single parent. My kids are going to spin out then, and my parents are going to disown me, and I'll be all alone, and on and on and on it goes. So in response to the panic, the fear, the lies, lots of lies, people go, yeah, I'll suck it up. Not going to say anything. How's that work? Oh, well, I can tell you, the hostility increases, the love decreases. Spend a lot of time with stomach problems. You feel empty inside. But that's what fear does. I've watched people stop coming to church. You know, they because initially they started coming and they feel like God's calling them. And they'll say things like, I think it's time I turn my life around. I need to admit my sins. I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then fear kicks in. But if I do that, I'm going to lose all my friendships and my life's going to be really dull and there'll be no more joy and no more pleasure in my life. And if I do that, I'm going to have to mindlessly follow and I'll never have freedom again, and on it goes. And so they can't bear that thought because of the lies. And so they turn away, walk away. I mean, you see how this works? Listen to the lies. The fear, it thrives. It thrives on deceit. And I will tell you that Satan fans those flames. And it's all about lies. Which is why those of us that want to overcome fear and the power of fear, you got to expose the lies. Because when you expose the lies, you're able to kind of diffuse the strength that they have in your life. But it's a choice you have to make. You can allow the lies to hold you captive, or you can take the lies captive and confront it with truth. You know, Jesus said this in John 8. Says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, he's talking to us too, by the way, if you remain in my word, then you're truly my disciples. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. Set you free. Set you free. In other words, you seek the truth. You can then know the truth. You seek God's truth. You spend time in God's word because it's full of truth. That's why it's so important that you spend time in God's word. It's so important why we gather so that we know truth. And what we do is we dwell on that truth. We think about that truth. Sometimes you need to speak that truth because it will set you free. Truth always does that. This is something you can learn. Anybody can learn it. It's a skill, it's a discipline, but you got to practice it. You know, the power of truth defeats the power of deceit. In other words, truth will prevail. It will win. It will set you free. Which is why it's critical that you know the truth. And you know the truth so that when the fear starts getting a grip on you, and it will sometimes. I mean, here's my best advice. When the fear kicks in and you start lying to yourself, you just stop whatever it is. And you just say, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You know, stop the lies. Stop this. I'm not going to be captive to this junk. You know, stop manufacturing and believing the worst case scenario. You got to stop it. You got to stop exaggerating. Stop it. Stop it. And you push back. It's the power of Jesus Christ in your life. It's the power of truth, the power of God's word. I remember a commercial when I was a kid for Menon aftershave commercial. How many of you remember Menon? Yeah, they had this great commercial, and the guy would put aftershave on his hands. Thanks, I needed that, you know. I think they slapped a little harder, but. Friends, here's what I'm saying, very literally. When you are overwhelmed by fear, and it's got its grips on you, and the lies start happening, you go, stop. So to speak. listening to the lies. Stop listening to the father of lies, because he's behind it. And he's wanting to jam you up. You know, speak the truth, friends. You are a child of God. God loves you. God wants the best for you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. It will help you regain your equilibrium in your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." When fear kicks in, when it kicks in for me, that's the passage I go to. I've went to that passage so many times through the years, and I'll read it and reread it. I will speak it, and there's a point where I'll go, "Thanks, God, I needed that." And it gives you strength. I mean, some of you have fears, and you will not conquer your fears until you face your fears. You have to face it. You have to walk toward fear. You have to walk through fear sometimes. You grab God's hand, and it's a strong hand. You're not alone, but you step forward and you face it. God will give you the strength. And friends, I will tell you, there's no other way to do it. I mean, some of you, you have been turning your back on fear, that thing that you're afraid of. You think that by avoiding it, you're going to be okay. And I will tell you that fear's not going to go away. In fact, the longer you avoid it, it will get stronger and stronger and stronger, and the lies will gain power in your life. So you got to expose. You got to expose the lies. You got to face your fear and ask God to help you in the midst of it. And this is the truth. The psalmist says, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." God will deliver you from your fear. God won't fail you. God won't abandon you in the midst of it. Joshua writes this, God's speaking here. "Remember that I've commanded you to be determined and confident. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." You got to move forward. See, at some point you got to decide no more. No more fear. Worry, no more. And I believe God's saying to some of you today, you've been held captive long enough. You know, quit listening to the lies. Quit listening to the world. You know, move forward. Take a step in a new direction. You've suffered long enough. No more fear. No more fear. You know, deal with the problem, whatever it is. Pursue that dream. You know, step out of the prison and experience the freedom that God promises. You know, that abundant life. It's beautiful. And friends, I would tell you, God's with you. And God is working, and God has a plan. And God will make everything, everything, everything. Even that thing you're thinking about right now. Everything. God says, "I will make it beautiful at some point." At some point. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I got armor now. No more fear. No more fear. Moving forward, I'm not looking back. I'm moving forward because I know God's strong and God's able. And so no more fear, no more worry. Some of you, whatever that thing is that you've been afraid of, I just challenge you right now to just give it to God. And we're going to close. We do this often around here. But if there's something where fear's had you for a while, maybe it's had you for most of your life. It's kept you from doing. You've been in that cell. You just stand where you're at as a statement of faith. I'm going to pray for you and say, "No more fear. I'm walking out of here today. No more fear, God, because you're with me. I know you can get me through this. God will help you figure out the lies that you've been buying into. But you got to take a step. And so just stand up where you're at, and I'm going to pray for you. Our holy God, you see the individuals, the families that are standing right now. And God, I pray your Holy Spirit would just pour out on them confidence. God, that right now you just expose some of the lies they've been telling themselves. Lies that have held them back, kept them from pursuing. Lies that have just strangled them. God, I pray you'd give them the spirit of strength and confidence. Not because of who they are, but because of who you are. You are mightier than whatever it is. God, I thank you that this isn't a surprise to you. You've noted it all along. You know when we even just hurt a little bit. God, I thank you that you're that kind of God, that you love us that much. God, I pray that today that we'd walk out of here. No more fear. Not in that area. No more. God, we just give you the praise. We give you the glory this day and every day. God's people said, let's all stand. Let's worship.